Like I indicated earlier on, ladies and gentlemen, members of parliament, it's really a tight day, and I'm sure members would also need to focus on other issues for the day today. Nonetheless, we don't have spare time. All the time must be utilized efficiently. They normally say a job is a job, so we are proceeding with our work, which we have to do thoroughly. We are now entering the second part of our presentation that will be done by PCTA. PCTA means Public Sector Education Training Authority. So they will be presenting on the performance for the previous year, the same as it happened with the CPSI when they gave us that presentation. It was a background. With PCTA, there are also specific issues I know that they had to also take on board in terms of their presentation, in terms of giving us an outline. So we will appreciate that when that presentation is done, I got an indication from the secretariat that the areas that we actually raised have been integrated into the presentation. I think that is welcome because it helps us not to really think much on the questions, but have that as outlined. Unless if you need further clarity or we're not satisfied, it's only then that you can engage as members. So, like we did with the CPSI, I'm going to request the PCTA to introduce the whole delegation. You can do it one by one in your own voices, or you can just have a list outline and tell us who is with yourself. Before we proceed again, I need to indicate we do have other two members of parliament that have joined us. We've got Honorable Msimang at the end there. We've got Honorable Mgani with us as well. We really have a full house of members. So, PCTA, I am going to present this time to yourself to take us through a presentation. Over to you.
Honorable Chair and Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee, thank you very much for having given us an opportunity to come and address you on the current state of the PCTA and moving forward. I'm going to introduce the colleagues that are here. We have members of staff, including members of the Executive Committee and some of the board members today joining us. Chairperson, I would like to also render an apology for the chairperson of the board, who unfortunately could not be with us today due to the fact that he had to undergo an operation, a very serious operation, but he is recuperating well. He is currently at home. My name is Tahir Maeba, and I'm the deputy chairperson of the PCTA board. On my right, I have Businake. She's the acting CEO of the PCTA, but her position is she's the board secretariat of the PCTA. Next to him, we have got Mr. Tsipane, a member of the board representing the employer. We've got Nonta Salevaka. Ms. Nonta Salevaka, she's a board member also representing labor. We've got Mr. Dick Buma, a board member representing the employer. And we've got Ms. Nomtam Londo, a board member representing employer. And behind me, I've got Joshua, Mr. Joshua Mandishona. He's our CFO. We've got Mr. Peping, Lebham Peping, who's also a board member. And we've got Mr. Kuzwayo, who's our ETQA manager. Next to Mr. Kuzwayo, I'll just also mention him is Mr. Diamond Mushwan, who's the advisor to the Minister of Public Service and Administration. He is playing a role of coordination between ourselves as the board and the minister's office. And on the other side, I've got Ms. Astrid Sambur. She's also a board member representing labor. Mr. Heflin Konki, board member also representing labor.
Okay, thanks for also introducing the department, because I was just about to also request them to fill in. Sorry for interrupting you. You can see you're still proceeding.
No, I just wanted to check if I've covered everybody. No, I've covered everybody, Madam Chair. Okay. Thank you very much, Chair. Basically, the presentation that I have, unfortunately, we could not put in everything. We have also distributed our annual report to members of the portfolio committee for purposes of some of the things that I may have referring to. And of course, it is there for the also for the portfolio committee to affair themselves with the current state of affairs, especially the previous financial year, in terms of how we have fared as the PC chair. Going to the presentation, Madam Chair, as we all know, the PCTA legal framework is in terms of the Constitution, the State Skills Development Act and the State Skills Levies Act, and also the NSDS Strategy 1 and 2. Currently, we are still in the NSDS 2 era, whereupon it was extended for another year after the movement of the CTAS from the Department of Labor to the Department of Higher Education. The process of the new strategy, NSDS 3, is still in process, which hopefully will be implemented in the next financial year. The PCTA scope, Madam Chair, of course, our coordination role or our role lies within all departments in the national and provincial governments, parliament and legislation, parastatals. And those are the departments that don't fall under any other line CETA, like, for instance, education will fall under the education CETA, will not necessarily fall within the ambit of the PCTA, except for those general public service employees and non-educators employees within those departments. Those still fall within the scope of the PCTA. The mandate of the PCTA, Madam Chair, is to facilitate and coordinate and monitor the implementation of the NSDS in the public service in those in the transverse skills within the public service. This coordination, Madam Chair, is an interaction between ourselves and other CTAS and the public service at large. The governance of the PCTA now, in terms of its constitution, Madam Chair, we have one independent chair I just apologize that he could not make it, Mr. Mahmoud Fadal, and we've got eight representatives representing labor who are admitted in the General Public Service Coordinating and Sectoral Bargaining Council, which is members from NEHAO, the PSA, and POCRO. And we also have eight representatives representing the employer who are appointed by the Minister of Public Service and Administration. One of them comes from the provincial, two comes from the provincial departments or the premier's offices, and others, they come from national departments and also some parastatals. And both employer and employee portion of the board are expected to appoint an expert, which makes the number of nine per side. And we've got the CEO, of course, as an ex officio to the board. The current board structure, Madam Chair, we've got a PCTA board that has been established and functioning with that. We've got a board secretariat. We've got EXCO, Finance Committee, Audit Committee, Skills Planning, ETQA, HR, and Legal. ETQA and Learnership Program and Skills Planning are the core function, basically, of the PC. The funding model currently, Madam Chair, we are funded through a budget vote under the Public Service and Administration. And we also get funding for projects through the NSF funding, now falling under the Department of Higher Education, for projects that will facilitate skills development within the public service. We also collect minimal levies from those small entities that do not necessarily fall within the government, like paraspeakers, and they are expected to pay 1% of their payroll towards the operations of the PCT. The independence of the board, Chairperson, is one of the challenges that we are currently faced with, because in terms of the legislation, the board is supposed to be the accounting authority of the PCT. However, due to the current arrangement, whereupon our funding is done through the budget board of the DPSA, the funds basically that we are utilizing for our operations are controlled or supposed to be sanctioned by the Director General of the DPSA, which in many instances is creating a lot of friction or problems in terms of us delivering a service that we're supposed to be delivering. For instance, the board will be empowered to take certain financial decisions, but those decisions can be vetoed by the CFO of DPSA because of the funding model that we are currently using. So the discussions with the Department of Public Service and Administration and also Higher Education and Treasury are currently taking place to find a solution to this particular dilemma. Whereupon we want a situation where PCTA can be fully independent, it can run its own affairs, and it can be accountable for all revenue that they are receiving for purposes of skill development. The other issue, Madam Chair, is the issue of representativity. And it is very difficult for us to achieve full representativity of all public service department and provincial department under the current funding model, because we currently, our funding for this financial year, for instance, Madam Chair, it has been reduced from the previous financial year from 21 million to 19 million. So it makes it very difficult for us to establish hubs in the provinces in order to coordinate the issue of the skilling of the public service across the country. So our funding is not enough for us to achieve a full representation of all government departments within the sphere of the PCT. We've got a small group of board members coming from about 9 departments, not even representing half of the public service, taking decisions for the whole public service. It's an anomaly that cannot be sustained. We need to reach a point where each and every department, national and provincial, are participating in the whole stream of the PCTA for purposes of whatever needs that skill development needs that they may have in the PCTA. So this incomplete skills miss is something that can be addressed once the funding of the PCTA has been finalized. We have established an integration model in which we are conducting or have conducted to a large extent an overall transversal skills analysis in the public service, whereupon we want to consolidate the work skills plans into one public sector skills plan, which is something that we haven't done now because of these current challenges that we are currently having. The development of public sector career progression model and also public recruitment review plan. These are some of the initiatives that are underway, but for us to be able to ultimately reach that point, the issue of the sourcing of the PCTA and the expansion of the current organogram of the PCTA will have to be looked at for us to be able to achieve those desires. The development of the stakeholder management strategic plan, development of a management structure within the PC is also another problem. Whereupon the PC as an entity doesn't have its own employees. all employees that are currently rendering services to the PCTA have been seconded to the PCTA from the Department of Public Service and Administration. Though I must mention, Madam Chair, that we are in the process of signing, of concluding an MOU, which we believe that will eventually result in these employees being transferred to the PCTA. Once the PCTA is an entity on its own, it's going to run its own affairs. And once we achieve that, we'll be able to reach out to those targets that we have set out for ourselves, including those targets that we have mentioned in the SLA that we have with the Department of Higher Education in terms of our output in terms of skill development within the public service. The target of new entrants, unemployed youth and graduates, we are unable to do such trainings and interventions because of there's no money for us to do that. Whilst the Act says it is our responsibility to do it, we may have the programs, but to implement those programs, we can't because of there's no funding for such programs. So it makes it very difficult for PCTA to be efficient and to meet the obligations of the Skills Development Act under the current regime where we are standing. Like I'm saying, as a board, we are an accounting authority, but we can't account for anything because we have a shell that we are running, basically. Everything has to be done through the Department of Public Service and Administration. There's been a commitment from the Minister of Public Service and Administration that we need to indeed reach a point where PCTA is an entity on its own, it runs its own affairs. But that process is still underway. And I must mention, Chairperson, that I think it was sort of a blessing in disguise that the NSDS 2 has been extended for another year. So this period, we are using it for that purpose, to make sure that by the end of this financial year, we have managed to address all those issues that have made it impossible for us to become solely independent of the DPSA, for instance, so that we can be able to run our own affairs. The current status quo, we were reporting to the Department of Labor, now to the Department of Education in terms of the NSDS. Like I've already mentioned, we are now going to the next phase, which is the NSDS 3, whereupon already a service level agreement is in the negotiation stage, where we will be tasked or will be expected to reach certain targets in terms of our responsibilities. And again, we may find ourselves in the same situation if the issue of the funding is not resolved. I've already mentioned that, Madam Chair, that we draw our revenue through the budget vote of the DPSA, and though the PCTA is not self-sustaining in a sense that we don't have our own resources to run our own affairs, we have in the meantime, Chairperson, I must mention that have achieved a few positive feedback despite having these problems. For instance, Chairperson, I can mention a few whereupon we have registered qualification and training programs. We've got 33 qualifications that we have registered, and we've got 27 accredited service providers, 319 registered assessors and moderators, 15 learnership registered linked to full qualification, 3 pending and 4 have been deregistered because of they may have been same qualifications may be registered with other line sitters. We've got 21 skills program registered on functional competence. So we have all these things, but for us to be able to put, for instance, unemployed youth into these programs, we're going to need money for that. For us to be able to make interventions for the unemployed graduates, we're going to need funding for that aspect. So we've got documents, we've got programs, but they cannot be implemented because of there's no money to implement such programs. So the issue of the migration of the PCTA into a fully fledged independent entity, whereupon we can draw our own funding based on the needs of the PCTA. Assess needs of the PCTA will have to be prioritized. And we will have to have a situation where we can have direct funding from Treasury based on those particular needs. And like I've already mentioned, Chairperson, there's a coordinated process now that we have undertaken to try and realize that that eventuality. And from the stakeholders, especially the major one, which is the DPSA, there's been commitment that there will be that assistance for us to be able to reach that realization. We have now developed a turnaround strategy and a model in which how we intend reaching this particular objective. That turnaround strategy is going to be adopted in the next board that will be taking place in May. Once that strategy has been adopted, then the transformation process into this position that I've just outlined will then be realized. And most of the things, Madam Chair, that have been raised in the PSC report are the things that we've already identified, are the things that we have already prioritized in order for us to be able to reach the ultimate objective and be able to participate or act as an entity as envisaged in terms of the public service, I mean in terms of the Skills Development Act. Thank you very much, Madam Chair, and thank you to the members of the portfolio committee.
Thank you very much, Pisita, for the presentation. I will now afford the members to pose questions. I've noticed Honorable Dreyer as the first one, followed by Honorable William, and then the third one will be Honorable Fanskalfe, Honorable Pikani, and Honorable Suka. Honorable Musimanga will be at the end. I'll take you that honor, starting with Honorable Dreyer. Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to go straight back to the essence of the matter and refer the committee to the annual report of the PCTA. And in the chairman's review, he starts off by saying 10 years have passed since the promulgation of the Skills Development Act in 1998. It's actually 12 years because we're now in 2010. And then I want to draw your attention to page 34 in that annual report with a report of the Auditor General. And he gives a disclaimer. Madam Chair, that's the strongest possible way in which the Auditor General can express himself is by giving a disclaimer. And he's given this PCTA disclaimer. And then everything after that, pages and pages and pages, is just a long list of problems and shortcomings and non-compliance, the one after the other. So it's difficult to ask or to say, what have they done wrong? Maybe what should rather ask, what have they done right? Because then you will get a shorter answer. There are too many shortcomings and problems in this PCTA. So I have two questions from this. I want to know, why should this PCTA continue to exist? Isn't it better just to abolish it? And secondly, on page 38 of this annual report, we are informed that there's a pending forensic investigation that was initiated into financial misconduct allegations. Now, this report is 29, so it's a year old. I would imagine that forensic investigation has now been completed. So I would like to ask, where is this financial the report into this forensic investigation? And when can this committee have copies of that report?
Okay. Thanks, Honourable Dreyer. Honourable William.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, I must agree with the Honourable Dreyer on the actual despicable circumstances that this CETA finds itself in. What I'd like to know, and I think the CETA should understand this, is when the presentation was given to us, they kept talking about receiving more money and independence. I'd like to know at the moment that you don't have this money and you don't have this independence, how this possibly happened that you got a disclaimer, and whether or not it's your fault or whether you want to put blame onto the department itself for the complete and utter non-compliance that's happened here. And the CETA must understand that we're trying to train the public service so that we can bring about some changes on the ground. And this report is reflecting that if this is what we have to use in government to try and facilitate the training and the capacity building of the public service, then we're in serious trouble. And I'd like to know if in fact you do get autonomy from the DPSA and are allocated more funds, what are you going to do about this? Because it's, you know, it's not good. Thank you.
Honourable Franz Kelderbeek.
Thank you, Chair. I want to ask a question which I asked last week already, but there's a bigger delegation of PCTA present here today. CETAs in other government departments have failed dismally. Why should the public service have a CETA, a PCTA, when Palama is there already? I know that Palama concentrates on something, it's more leadership than skills, actually. But for Palama being a facilitator, and I believe PCTA is also a facilitator, why can't Palama do the work PCTA is doing now, especially in the light of the, the Auditor General's report, etc. we saw. Thank you.
Honourable Pikani.
Thank you, Chair. I might sound as I'm going to be repeating myself to what some of the members have said, but I think it should only stress the importance of why we're asking the questions we're asking. For one, thanks for the presentation, but not good enough. Secondly, you mentioning that the NSDS3 is only being processed now. But to what extent and how successfully have you implemented what emanates from the NSD 1 and 2? My next question is, okay, I think something has already been mentioned in a preamble here by the chairperson, but I was going to ask the question, if you are complaining of independence now, for how long has the PCTA been in existence and what has been happening all along? You haven't given us a picture exactly of what has been happening within PCTA. And I'd also like to know, how do you see your cross-sectional relationship with Palama, if you have any relationship with Palama? And then I see in your book, I haven't read it, so I haven't gone through it, from the Department of Labor on page 42, Statement of Financial Position. We know for a fact that the public services sector gets funding from the 1% levies, am I right? Wrong. It doesn't happen anymore. When it has never happened, then how have departments been operating in terms of skills development? Because it would have been interesting to know exactly how have you been applying skills development in departments, because it's most probably hence why we are complaining of incapacity that is in existence. And if it hasn't been happening, I don't know, maybe then I need an explanation of that page without even going into details about it. Because there are funds that are allocated there for 31 March 2009 and 31 March 2008. And it's big money. What exactly has CETA then been doing? The public services CETA. Thanks, Chair.
Sure. Thanks, Honourable Pikani. Honourable Suka, followed by Honourable Sima.
Hello, Chairperson. I think I am widely covered by the previous speaker, so I don't want to make those notes. I would rather request them to respond, then I can make a follow-up on those issues that have been raised, because they are categories of questions, and they are capacity that lead you to AG's report. Another matter. Maybe they can just respond and then come up later.
Sure. Honorable Simon.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'm also partly covered, but I just want to point out that the impression one gets from the presentation is that the PCs are actually dysfunctional, lack of capacity and lack of funds. I'd like to know, what is the relationship between the PCs and PPSA, because they get their funds from there. So is it good relationship? Do they draw up the budgets? And do they get allocations according to their budget, or who draws the budget for them? Because if there is this lack of funds and lack of capacity, they cannot capacitate the rest of the public service, and therefore there is going to be a void there. There is a dire need of skills in South Africa, and so I just want to know, who has rendered them dysfunctional? Is it the DPSA because it didn't sufficiently fund them, or where is it?
Okay, thanks, Honorable Simon. I will reach the end of the question. I won't be able to overemphasize. I believe the members have covered the gist of what we really want to find out. But maybe just to add, would need the department, maybe from the side of the department, to just find out in terms of the academic accountability procedures, how has been the relationship, what is the department's view in terms of the input that we have found, the issues that we're raising. But that can come at the end if we don't get all the answers. But if we think that we are sufficiently covered, I think we'll leave it at that. But also just to indicate to PCTA that we had two reports that came in front of this committee. The last report that we had last week is from the Public Service Commission, which did not really look good. The other report is the Auditor General's report that the members are articulating to. I just need to emphasize the matters that are before us are real serious. Hence the question from members. Can you convince us that there is a need for you to continue to exist? If there is a need, how do you think we can deal with all these matters? Because for us, as people who deal with oversight, this is very, very serious. So can I leave it to yourself to respond?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I'm
deal with one or two questions, and the rest, my colleagues, the CFO and other members of the board will assist me. The question that why should the PCTA continue to exist? Chairperson, I think it's a very important question and requires a very important answer. If the PCTA stops to exist, it means that we have failed the thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people who require the skills that we're supposed to be giving. When the Skills Development Act was legislated, it was for a purpose. There was a realization that there's a need for skills in this country. And that need is still there. So long as that need is still there, surely the PCTA need to continue to exist. I agree, Madam Chair, we cannot condone or accept the current state of affairs. That I fully agree, and this is the view that the board shares. And this board, Madam Chair, was only put in place, it started operating in 2007. Yes, PCTA has always been there, but we started operating in 2007 under these circumstances, where the control is still elsewhere due to historic reasons. the PCTA was for a couple of years sort of a directorate within DPSA, not operating as an entity. And then this is where the problem arises. When we came in as the board, we found some of these issues. For instance, members of the honorable members of the portfolio committee mentioned the forensic investigation process. We instituted that forensic investigation process because we found these things already happening. And I must report to the committee that the people who were found guilty, I mean, who did these acts, misappropriating funds, most of them, they've been prosecuted, and some of them are already serving jail sentences. So we have managed, we're cleaning up a house that has been dated for a couple of years now. So instead of us going into the actual work that we've been established for, we had to first do this cleaning up. And it hasn't been an easy exercise under the circumstances. It hasn't been easy, and I'll be the first to admit that. But insofar as the Auditor General's report, the CFO will explain what had transpired, and also to give a further detail in terms of the current state in terms of the budgeting process. The budget of the PCTA, we don't do the budget. It is budgeted at DPSA, and we are told that this is what you're going to get, despite the fact that our needs says something else. So we're sitting in that situation. So long as we are in that status quo, I will not be able to realize our objectives or the reasons why the PCTA was in fact established. I'm going to ask Mr. Tipan to deal with the relationship between us and Balama, and why shouldn't Balama do our work that the PCTA has been established for.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, ordinary members.
Chair, sorry for interrupting. Could the members just, the board members just reintroduce themselves every time just so that you get familiar with them because we're
okay. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. My name is Lawrence Tipa, and I'm representing the employer within the PCTA board. There's a question or a comment made that CETA has failed, and why do you think that the PCTA should exist while there is Balama? Maybe I'll just indicate that I think in South Africa a perception has been created whereby it has been said that CETAS has basically failed chiefly because they are sitting with lots of money in their accounts and so forth. Without really realizing that this skills development in the country has basically been undermined by the employer, from both private sector and public sector. Because according to the law, the employer, they're supposed to contribute 1% of the annual payroll through SARS. And when they train the employees, then they regain that money again. The reason that they're not, the money are just ballooning in the account of CETAS, is because the employer, and in particular private sector, they are not training people, and therefore they are not claiming this particular kind of money. So CETAS have not necessarily failed because they didn't really do their job. The role of CETAS is not really to train, but it's to provide an environment conducive for all the employers to train by ensuring that they are credit providers, by ensuring that their qualification is registered and so forth. And if the employer who pays the money and who's supposed to get their money are not training their people, that cannot really, it's unfair to say that it's the responsibility of the CETAS. CETAS still have an important role to play in the country, a country which really is lagging behind in terms of skills, skilling its own people who basically have been denied the right to education over the years. So the need for further training cannot really be overemphasized. And PCTA and Balama are two different entities altogether. Balama is a training provider that whose project, whose program suppose or are accredited by the PCTA. The very same thing that I've just said, the PCTA is there to ensure that Balama and other providers, they provide training programs that are accredited so that the participants who participate in those programs, they can get credits and qualifications that are internationally recognized. And so for Balama to be a provider and to be a trainer and at the same time be a quality assurer, that's basically been a player and a referee. And that's what the Skills Development Act is not basically envisaging. And so in that fashion, because Balama is a training provider and not a quality assurance body, it cannot basically do the role of the PCTA. And because the PCTA is basically unique, it ought basically to have its own program that are basically underpinned by the values of this constitution, so that are reflected in Chapter 10. And those values, they're supposed basically to in a way, empower all participants in the public service, so that while they gain technical skills, for instance, on project management, but they understand those values and principles that are supposed to inform all ourselves as we're working within the public service. So Balama on its own is unlikely to do that because it will only be looking at its own project, own program. What about the rest of the other CTAs? I mean, other service providers that are operating in the entire public service? Are we saying that then Balama should be a trainer, but at the same time quality assure those other providers that are in the public service? So on that basis, I think that basically be a conflict. The PCTA is basically in existence like the rest of the CTAs 8 years ago, since they came into being in 2001. And with regard to this issue of that you raised, madam, of the levy, while all the employers are compelled by the Skills Development Levies Act to contribute 1% of the annual payroll to their respective CTA. That very same act, I think, is Section 35 of the Skills Development Levies Act. It's not the same when coming to public sector department. That section said all state departments are expected to budget that 1% of their payroll, but they are not compelled to contribute that 1% to their respective CTA. Instead, what they say, the Act says, is that out of that 1%, then they are expected to pay only 10% of that 1% to their respective CTA for administrative purposes only. So what is happening is that as a Department of Labor or DPSA, you budget that 1%, you keep it to yourself as a department, using fancy. And then when you enroll your employees, whether it's in learnership or skills program, it's you who pay them, who pay the provider directly, as opposed to the rest of the other CTAs. So in a way, that has also deprived the PCTA to even have what other CTAs regarded as disbursement fund that you can use for other kind of programs, or like providing bursaries or so forth, or for instance ensuring that we have all the necessary processes that are there. So it's known that all state departments, by virtue of that Section 35 of the State Development Levies Act, are not really paying their 1%. And I think if government really is not really leading the way with private sector, maybe then it becomes really complicated. But on this other question again as to why do we think that the peace eater should exist? I think now we are all aware that now the government is now leaning towards what is called a developmental state. And one key characteristic of a developmental state is that that state characterizes itself by having highly
I think we're starting to get a sense of not actually leading us to the concrete answer. It's developing an overall understanding of how we interpret a number of other areas. I don't think as a committee we can be able to take all the issues and the comments. Can we request PCTA to zoom into answering directly the questions that you raised?
Yeah. Okay, yeah, sure. Maybe just to by concluding to say that I think if we through this OPSC report, the best practices that have been demonstrated were, for instance, stated in that report that there's one old woman who's like 60 years at the Gauteng Transport Department who embarked on the PCTA ABET level. And that old lady is now currently enrolling for a diploma in business. And there are also instances that are shown there.
I don't think we're in understanding with one another. We definitely don't have time for all the issues that you are raising currently. We want to be patient, listen to you, but please, we don't have time for all the issues raised. We want specific issues that actually account to this. Is there any other issue in summary? You know, because we cannot really go through the tour on this matter. Is there any other summarized version? Honorable Bikan, your hand is up, but let me allow the question.
Yeah, I think to
answer that question, the Public Service Department don't pay their levy. They don't pay. We don't get anything from the government. Yeah. So now, in the light of that, we are unable to do all these things. Yes, there's an issue of the auditor. We're going to expand on that. So that's the direct answer to your question.
Yes, Madam Chair, thank you very much. Just a little bit of further explanation on the 1%. This is a policy issue that resides with the DPSA. The government departments, when they do their budget allocations, they have to make sure that they allocate 1% of their total payroll and take this 10% to the sector for admin purposes. So it's a policy issue that resides with DPSA. Maybe just to give an indication as to how far the mandate of the PCTA goes. PCTA's mandate is to look at transversal training issues, you know, cut those issues related to training that cut across that's its own mandate is. And also the issue of the pre-institutions, Palama, PCTA, and the PSA. We are working towards having a process where we will have, whether in the form of a workshop, we will clarify roles and the responsibilities of these three institutions, which at this stage are overlapping to a certain extent. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Bigger?
I don't know, maybe I'm going to sound a bit negative, but this is poor, guys. You know, I'm still sitting here asking myself, what has been the role of CETA? What are their roles and functions exactly of the public services CETA since its existence? Because at the end of the day, you can't tell me that if you are able in this book to put in figures of a particular budget, you know, financial statements, okay, never mind what the Auditor General's reports were, but there have been money allocated here. Now, what has the board's role been in ensuring that the funds are allocated in a relevant manner? I hear what you're saying, that they're saying that they got problems when they got into, whenever. When did you get in?
2007.
You got in 2007. It's 2010. What's been happening then since to show that there's been a movement from the worst case scenario that you are holding here to I don't know what to call it, because there is no relevant answers to something that shows that there has been improvement, or that this board is showing that they were in existence And these are the changes that they've brought about to ensure that we are back on track. The NSD 1 and NSD 2 have been applied in departments. It's being applied still. The levies are not asked from the employees. They just know that the levies are deducted from them. And the bottom line is you as the board then should pick up your side of the responsibility to say, if these levies are being paid in and this is our role and function, then we must make sure that that levy gets to us to ensure that we implement skills development as it should be. It's almost giving me an impression that, Chair, it's as if I could say they must go back. Honestly, we're wasting time here. They must go back and I don't know, have time frames even to what they have here in terms of what has happened since 2007 until now. Even if it means setting up a set plan that indicates where they were and where they're going to. This to me is just a futile exercise the way I see it. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, I agree with the previous speaker that we should send them back. I also think when they come back that the DPSA responsible for the control that they say that they've lost be present in that meeting so that we can decide exactly who is responsible for this Auditor General's report, because fundamentally it seems that nothing is happening and they're blaming the Auditor the DPSA for not giving them control. And the Lawrence was saying, the speaker of Lawrence, sorry, I didn't get your surname, was saying that there is a suggestion that there is this perceived problem with the PCTA. It's not a suggestion, Lawrence. It says so here by the Auditor General. There are serious problems in your CETA, please. Thank you.
Yes, Madam Chair, we had a lot of words, but there was one crucial question that's still not answered. When, exactly when, will we get the copy of the report on the forensic investigation? I think this committee is entitled to receive copies, and we just want to know on what date will it be delivered here.
Honourable Van Skelbeek.
Thank you, Chair. I agree with Honourable Williams, I think it was, who said that the DPSA must attend a meeting with PCTA, because just yesterday I saw a paper or a note where it was stated that only 39% of the budget for Program 2, that is the human resources and development, etc., was used. One of the reasons was that enough money was not transferred to PCTA. So the department also has a problem as far as PCTA is concerned.
Okay, in summary, Honourable Ramasakan. Okay.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I know I arrived late, I must have missed a lot. But when they come back, I want to agree with speakers. When they come back, perhaps it would be useful for them to prepare well the issue around the turnaround strategy. There was a slide that suggested there's a turnaround strategy, but it did not speak to a turnaround strategy. If they could come back with that detailed turnaround strategy, that could convince the committee that the things that the Auditor General says and the things that is dysfunctional is going to be turnaround, and this is the ABC for turnaround that we could look at. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. I can see Honourable Buchanan here. Honourable Suka.
Chairperson, I think maybe, you see, I must first appreciate the presenter for being transparent in the manner in which he presented his report, so that we have a better picture in terms of the document that they presented. Secondly, Chairperson, the presenter in his concluding remarks in terms of his presentation, there were some achievements that he raised from his notes and which were not included in the document. I could see that some of those issues that he raised, I would assume they are in this annual report. But there was very important information that he referred to in that document when we were trying to look around where is he reading from. That can also assist. The third aspect, chapter 7, for me, is what has been raised by the Honorable Member Ramatagani, the turnaround. Because this document, because almost it's negative, it empowers them themselves to say they can stand on their own feet in taking the process forward. Ngamula, from what was said, a developmental stage, but I would say a developmental sitter to this effect, so that we see what is obtaining from them, so that we are much more convinced in the manner in which we are doing. The other issue, Chairperson, is that turnaround, because there is an absence of a skills plan, because they are hamstrung by another department, by another entity, where they are receiving funds, so they can't plan for the skills moving forward because of this. So I'm saying you need to balance that up, so that when we read the influence, because surely what they are saying also indirectly, they need a political intervention from this side, from this level, to assist them, because we could read in that what they are raising. A political intervention is needed so that they can stand on their own. But if their case is not strongly advanced, surely you will get this kind of a response to say, go and prepare more for what you are supposed to do. Equally, on the budget, well, look, they don't control their budget. While they're not controlling their budget, it has declined. Now, they must give us some motivation, because surely the Auditor General, because of the negative reporting here on the outstanding issues that we are supposed to do, the DBSA, will feel that no, there's no need to increase your budget because you can't manage it. Yes, so I'm saying there are those challenges. But in a nutshell, I'm just trying to enhance what has been said, that they must be a little bit smarter and discreet in their presentation. You see, on these pages, I've mapped some pages that I thought I was going to raise, the pages of 36, 38, 35, number 16, and so on. So they need also to talk to those things on this annual report, so that we do have some confidence, because this is an old report, annual report. We are in 2010, and you are not taking us into confidence as to how to turn that around. So, Chairperson, that's my little bit of input, despite, yes, their staff also comes from other departments. That's what they are saying. So in that, what they are saying, maybe that one will need the relations, the power relations that was raised here. Because you said a mouthful, and we are probing our minds as to what we want to say. But the political intervention, surely it has come loud and clear in your presentation that we need to observe. But we can only do that if you yourselves also you do your own introspection, so that you give us confidence to move forward. Thank you, Chair.
Hey.
Very tough one.
Thank you. Thank you for your absence. The Deputy Chair, in trying to defend the existence of the CETA, said if it were to go, thousands or even hundreds of thousands of people would be deprived of an opportunity to acquire skills. Then the question is, in the 10 to 12 years life of the CETA, how many thousands or even hundreds of thousands have benefited?
Okay. I think, PC, I'm not going to give you a chance to respond, but I'm going to suggest a process and a way forward on this matter. You have made the presentation. We had all the issues that you raised. We have noted many more. We had issues also from our side. Members raised those issues quite clearly. And, of course, from our side of overview, we think the area of CETA is a crisis point. Well, we cannot leave the matter as it is as a committee.
as a matter of fact, would really need the department to come and account before this committee in terms of these areas. We are aware that other issues are maybe interaction between yourself and the department, but then we therefore, in conclusion, say that PCTAS area is a crisis. It therefore needs clarity, because we cannot, as members of parliament, leave a situation of this nature. Otherwise, we might as well lose our job. And I would like to leave it at that. Then the next presentation that the department will have to come and do, the first critical aspect, they must be this matter. As to whether they come with data or how they do it, they know how to do this, but we need clarity on these issues. These are the matters we're putting forward, including the matter that Honorable Dreyer raised, a request for a report. I'm sure we'd really want to see that. Thank you very much, Sita, for Peace Sita, for the presentation. Thank you, Honorable Members. We are adjourning the committee now.